Welcome to the radio broadcast of the Independence Missionary Baptist Church, which is located at 124 South Main in Forestell, Missouri. We are very glad that you're listening this morning, and we want you to know that we pray for you, that you find God's will for your life. This is such an important thing to do, is to find God's will for your life. We want to invite you to attend the services at the Independence Missionary Baptist Church. We are a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Sunday school beginning at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning. And then at 11 o'clock is our morning worship services. In the evening, we have a prayer service beginning at 3:45 p.m. and our Sunday evening worship services begin at 4:30 p.m. And then our Wednesday night Bible study is at 7 p.m. If you are looking for a place that teaches the truth of God's Word, where you can really worship God in spirit and in truth, you will find it at the Independence Baptist Church of Forestell, Missouri. Why is that? It's because we use the King James Bible and we study it diligently so we can understand exactly what the truth is. The truth is taught in the Bible, is it not? So we want you to feel very welcome to come to these services. If you have any questions at all about what we believe at the Independence Baptist Church, you can go to the website at www.independencebaptist.org, and there you will find a list of everything that we believe at the Independence Baptist Church. You can also go to www.sermonaudio.com/IBC, and there you will find many sermons preached at the Independence Baptist Church. What we really have on our mind is that we want you to really understand what we believe, what we preach, and what we practice all the time. We want you to have a stable life knowing that you have an eternity that's ahead of you. And we want you to be right before Almighty God. This morning, we want to use four verses of Scripture taken from the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says in this place, 1 Peter 1 and verse number 13 through verse number 16, Peter writes to the strangers scattered throughout various regions, and he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." In this place, the Apostle Peter knows that he's going to die soon. He has been told this by Jesus Christ himself, so he knows that it's so. But Peter wants those people to be faithful to God, even if something bad happens to them. This is why that Peter writes the way he does. This is what he has on his mind. We understand that Peter wants these people that listen to his messages to be holy, because God is holy. He wants the people that listen to him to copy Jesus Christ, not copy him. He wants them to be more like Jesus Christ than he wants them to be like him. It is very evident that this is what the Apostle Peter really wants. As he writes in the book of 1 Peter, it is amazing when you think about this man who was at one time a fisherman, but God called him to salvation. And then God gave him a greater call, because God called this fisherman not only to salvation, but he also called him to be an apostle. He set him in the church, and he wants him to teach others the truth of what their life is all about. This is why that he says unto them, "So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Peter wants the people that listen to him to be separated from the world. Not to separate themselves, but he wants their lifestyle to be so very different from the world. He wants people in the world to look to the believers in Christ. And he wants those people to see that Jesus Christ is the very center of their life. This is what he writes about in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." You know, in verse number 1, Peter is an apostle. But I don't think he's bragging about it here, when he simply makes a statement of his position. But he also makes a statement of the position of those people that read his epistle. He said they were strangers. Now, somebody would say, that's because he didn't know who they were. Well, it might have been that he didn't know who they were, but he's not talking to them as if he didn't know them. But if you just read the book, you'll understand that what Peter said to them was a very important point. He wanted them to be more like Jesus Christ than he ever wanted them to just simply follow him. He calls them strangers because the world looks upon them as a little bit strange. I think that's the meaning here of the word strangers. To the strangers scattered throughout these other regions here. Listen, if you're saved today, you have a different plan for your life than the world has for theirs. When I was going to college, there was a lot of people that wanted to know what I wanted to do when I got out of college. And frankly, I had no idea what I wanted to do. They would ask me over and over again, "What do you want to do?" But I did not have an answer for them. But the whole truth of it is this. But if I had known then what I know now, I would have told them that it's not important what I want to do. It's important what God wants me to do. That's because that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is my King. He's the one that rules my life. He's the one that directs everything. I may be a stranger to the world, but I'm not a stranger to God Almighty. You know why? Because he saved my unworthy soul. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for my sins. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. But Jesus Christ did not stay dead. Instead, Jesus Christ arose from the dead on the third day. Wow, he did all of that for me. The world may think I'm a little bit strange, but I'm not. As far as God is concerned, I have my eyes upon him. This is what God wants us to do. This is why Peter writes this passage and states it the way he does, to the strangers scattered throughout these various regions. He wants them to understand that God is the focus of all other lives. And then in verse number 2, Peter writes this. He says, "You're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Peter's not bashful about words. But Peter uses the word elect in verse number 2. The Bible said here, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Every person that is saved ought to know this, that they're saved because they've been elected to salvation. Election is not a bad word. Election, as far as God is concerned, is a good word. But it teaches us exactly how that we were saved. Think about it. Whenever you believed in Jesus Christ, did you believe in Him because of you? Or did you believe in Him because Christ had His hand upon you? Think about it. Which way were you saved? The Bible says here, as Peter writes to these strangers that are odd to the world, he says, you're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. I'm glad that God knew me before the worlds were founded. I'm very thankful that God knew who I was, that God placed His hand upon me, and that God has used me in my life. I give Him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for all that He's done for me. The Bible said in verse number 2, I'm not only elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, but look what the Bible said next. It is through sanctification of the Spirit. That is, I've been set aside unto salvation. I've been sanctified by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. And what's all this about? In verse number 2, the Bible says, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people that believe in election, they don't believe in being obedient. Notice what the Bible says here in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 2. We are elect, all right, but we are elected not to disobedience. Rather, we are elected to be obedient unto the Lord. God wants us to be obedient to Him. That's right. God wants us to have a changed life. God wants us to do what He wants us to do. Why? Because He's the boss. He leads us. He guides us. And He does an excellent job of taking care of us. Nothing at all can happen to us that's not ordained of God. I'm glad that it's so. I'm glad that I can trust the living God that watches over me every day. I'm glad that He troubles me with my sin. He troubles me that I would not sin. He wants me to be obedient unto Him. I'm glad that that is so. The Bible said, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Whenever the blood is sprinkled on a sacrifice, it didn't cover the sacrifice. Not completely. Because it's sprinkled on the sacrifice. It's kind of like a real light shower of rain that comes. And the sacrifice was not covered completely with water. Rather, it was just sprinkled with the blood. What that means is that we still have a sinful nature. We are saved, but we still have a sinful nature. A nature that, if left to itself, it will run away with itself, and we will have much sin. But the Bible says that we're sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. This tells me that I, although I'm saved, am still a sinner. This teaches me that sin is ever present with me, but I have something to rejoice in. Not in sin, but I rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done for me, because He has given to me a way of salvation. I'm glad that Jesus Christ has paid it all for me on the cross of Calvary. Listen, if you're lost today, I pray that you might turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today that you might simply trust Him and believe Jesus Christ. He is well able to wash away all of your sins. Jesus Christ not only died for you, but Jesus Christ was buried in a rich man's tomb. He stayed in that tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. And then Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of Himself. Think about that. What a wonderful thing that really is. This leads us to verse number 3 of 1 Peter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible said here in this place, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, Peter is blessing the Lord. He's thanking the Lord for all the good things that God has done for him. Peter realizes that he did not deserve one thing, but God has freely given to him everything that is worthwhile for time and eternity. This is why we ought to do it too. We ought to thank God that He has saved our unworthy soul, that we ought to turn to Him and just praise His own holy name, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I didn't put my name there, but Jesus Christ wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad that is so. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is a wonderful, wonderful story of our salvation. You see, it is according to God's abundant mercy upon us. The word mercy means that we received that thing that we did not deserve. We received mercy at the hand of God. We didn't receive justice because we didn't even want justice. You know, if we all had justice, we would all wind up in the devil's hell. I mean, that's the truth of it. When this life ends without the God's mercy upon us, we will all wind up in a devil's hell. But I'm so glad that God had mercy upon my eternal soul. I'm glad that He has begotten me again unto a lively hope. And don't stumble upon these words. The Bible said in verse number 3 that we have been begotten again. I was begotten the first time by my mom and my dad. But you know who I was begotten by the second time? Jesus Christ. I've been born again. I was born the first time physically, but I was born again the second time spiritually. I've been born again. And this gives me a lively hope. It's not a dead hope, but it's a live hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I have all of these things in salvation. It's such a clear picture. But there's even more to that. There's even more to think about. The Bible said in verse number 4, where I'm going is this: to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Listen, I have an inheritance in heaven. Do you? I pray today that you do have an inheritance in heaven. I pray today that you are saved. If you're not saved, you don't have an inheritance in heaven. You don't. But listen, if you're lost, you need to confess that you're lost. And just tell God about it. And repent that you're lost. That is, have another mind about it all. And pray that God would save your unworthy soul. And realize that you are unworthy. You don't deserve salvation. I didn't either. But you know, God did a great thing for me. He did it all by Himself. God was one that woke me up from my sins. God was one that showed me what a wretched sinner I was. It was God that blessed me with eternal life. It's God that will bless you also with eternal life. And then you can also have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, that fadeth not away, and an inheritance that is reserved just for you. Wow. You see, God has done so much more for us than just to save our soul. But He has not only saved our soul, but God also has an inheritance for us. You know what inheritance is? That's something that is handed down to me from a parent that is passed on. I mean, that's what it is. I have a Heavenly Father that is passed on from this life. I have a Heavenly Father that came and died on the cross of Calvary and gave me eternal life. Not because I earned it. Rather, it was because He wanted to give me eternal life. Wow, that's a wonderful thought. Verse 5 says this, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 5 is a very amazing verse altogether. This verse says, who are kept by the power of God. You know, I'm not kept by my power. I'm not kept by my works either. No, I'm kept, safe and secure by the power of God. You see, God helps me every day. God enables me, and God can enable you as well if you just trust Him. Salvation is a great thing. To be lost in this world is to be lost in eternity. But if you're saved now, then you will be saved throughout all eternity. And you will have the inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. It's reserved for you. What a wonderful, wonderful thing this is. And all of this is that I'm kept by the power of God. How am I kept? Through faith. That is, the things that is impossible for me to do. I'm kept by the power of God. It's not by my power. It's rather by the power of God, that He is the one that is well able to keep me through faith. And the faith gives me salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This is a marvelous story, is it not? Of the good things that God has done in this life. I'm glad today that I'm saved. But listen, just because I'm saved doesn't mean that all the anguish and all the sickness and all the disease and all the troubles of this world doesn't have anything to do with me. You know, if you're saved today, the same thing is true for you. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're going to escape all the troubles that this world has. Read verse number 6. The Bible said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You see, the Bible says it very clearly here in verse 6 that we're still in much tribulation. We're still living in this sinful world. Sin is all around us. I mean, it's everywhere. You can't go anywhere unless there's sin there. You know why? It's because everywhere you go, there you are. And you're a sinner. You might be a saved sinner, but you're still a sinner. You can't help it. I mean, there it is. Why does all this happen to us? Look what the Bible said in verse number 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we want now what God will give to us then. Let me read verse 7 again. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory when? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes, then all the troubles and trials and tribulations of this world will seem as nothing at all. All the struggles that we have in this life, when Jesus Christ comes, it'll be like nothing at all because they'll be forgotten then. But right now, they're ever before us. Right now, we struggle with all of those things. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible said in this place, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The Bible said in verse number 8, that nobody living today, and I say this to you today and to me, that none of us have ever seen Jesus Christ. None of us. You may have a picture that is supposed to be replicating him, but that picture don't really picture Jesus Christ. That's just what man has pictured him as. But who does he really look like? The Bible said that he's greater than anything we could ever know. That Jesus Christ shines very bright. The Bible said here in verse number 8, whom having not seen, you love, and whom, though you see him not, yet believing, we simply believe what Jesus Christ has said. As Peter writes this epistle, he wants the people to understand that they might have never seen Jesus Christ, not in the flesh, but Peter wants these people to understand that he is real. He is real to them. And they know that. But sometimes the troubles and cares of this world seem to overcome us. Sometimes the struggles that we have in this world, they seem greater than life itself. But listen, Jesus Christ is ever present. Jesus Christ is always there. He is always ready to help us. As Peter writes, he wants these people to understand how great that God really is. This is why he says to them in verse number 13, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. He wants them to remember the things that God has so graciously given unto them. He wants them to be holy as God is holy. He said that in verse number 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Today, if you're lost, we pray for you that the Lord Jesus Christ would reveal himself to you, that he would save your eternal soul, and that you would repent and believe in him, that you might have eternal life. If you're saved today, we pray that God will give you strength every day in which you live, that you might be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he deserves everything that we could ever give to him. We pray for you that God would bless you in a great way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you as pastor of Independence Baptist Church, we'll be really glad to help you. All right? But we pray for you. Won't you know that? And we pray that God would bless you in your life, that you might always do what he wants you to do.